that's right. We're here on a Monday afternoon. It's President's Day, and I happen to have the executive director of Beyond Abuse with us this afternoon, Kathy Miller. She took this job on about 8 months ago. She's been in the corporate world. She's made the big bucks, and she's made lesser bucks since she took this job. But you seem to be loving it, Kathy Miller.
I am, Ann. I think this is where I've just, at this point in my life, I belong. I've landed in a good spot. And as my husband and I laugh about, I was in a period of reflection for a few months and really thought that this was where I needed to be for the next few years.
Wow. Well, and the judge went along with that, huh?
He did. You know, he had to stretch it a little bit, but he did support my decision, and he's been a great supporter. He actually has commented several times that he didn't know this job was going to mean that he had to go to the office with me, too, because I have him over on the weekends, you know, helping out a little bit there with some shrubbery or things like that. But, no, we don't discuss our role, certainly. Anything that goes on with my agency we don't talk about work. He doesn't talk about work with me, and I don't talk about work with him. But he has helped me with a couple of maintenance issues I've had over the last couple of months. So he's very supportive.
Wow. Well, of course, let's see. What exactly as the executive director, because this was kind of, they've changed over there how they have it structured, correct now?
Right. So I'm looking at it more from a business perspective. The board thought at this point in the history of the agency, and this agency's been around since 1992 as a nonprofit. It actually started out in 1977 with a group of volunteers.
But in called sexual trauma.
Well, originally it was called the Rape Crisis Center.
Well, that's right.
And then it was the Sexual Trauma and Counseling Center. And then in the fall of 2013, the board made a branding decision to change it to Beyond Abuse. And the tagline and the mission statement were all updated to reflect, you know, the change in the direction the agency is going in. So it's to lead the community beyond abuse through awareness, advocacy, and action. And we've got a real focused effort on that. Every time the board meets, everybody is reminded of what the new mission statement is. So they thought it was a good time. I don't have a social services background, and so I'm very much a non-traditional executive director in this particular field, but I bring to it with many, many years of experience in the financial world, sales and marketing, development or fundraising when I had my 4 years over at another nonprofit as a CFO. So I bring just a diverse background, if you will, in with trying to update and technology, move people forward, move the agency to be a little more efficient in how we report numbers to all of our grantors, because that's
right.
The world we live in.
Yeah, and you have to worry about, what did you say you had to worry about, cash flow?
Cash flow. So, you know, we laugh every month. I used to be, when I was with Capsa Jail and, you know, as the director of North and South America, we had a four-day close. You know, by 4 o'clock on the fourth day of the new month, you better have those books closed. But in this world, my husband actually asked me, well, don't you have to close the books anymore? I said, yeah, but we have a little more flexibility. So, and then you look at budget versus actuals. In this world, it's more about, since we're grant-funded, we can only spend what the grants pay us for. So our budget could be one thing, but if the grants aren't there, then we have to cut the expenses to match the grant funding. So really it's more of an issue now for us for cash flow to make sure that, you know, we are paying those bills and that the money's flowing in before it flows out. Yes. Like
could
balancing
be
a big checkbook.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, one of the things that we probably ought to mention, because some people might not know, Beyond Abuse, what does that do?
Beyond Abuse consists of three programs, and myself, when I've been here over 30 years in the community and really didn't know the depth of what this agency provided until I started doing a little research and talked with some folks and actually interviewed for the position, went to the website and looked at it. So it's comprised of three distinct programs. One is a children's advocacy program, which provides in a child-friendly environment. It provides forensic interviews, medical exams, counseling, advocacy, and it partners with we have what we call a multidisciplinary team approach. So it partners with DSS, law enforcement, the solicitor's office, guardian ad litem programs in the counties we serve. And we serve Greenwood, Abbeville, and Lawrence counties, and Newberry from the children's side. So we have a pretty broad reach there. Those children, they have to be referred to us through DSS or law enforcement. You know, mom can't bring their child in and say, I want them to have services. It has to be recommended through DSS or law enforcement. The second program is a sexual assault program. It's for the adult side of the clients we see. They can come into the agency with an immediate need for something that they were traumatized or experienced sexual assault many, many years ago, or it could be as recent as, you know, they were sexually assaulted last night and we responded to them in the emergency room. So that sexual assault program includes the counseling and the advocacy piece, but also the 24/7 crisis hotline if somebody wants to call in and talk through their issues, and also the 24/7 emergency department response. So we have volunteers, about 30 volunteers that we have to, you know, keep very close to us. And I've also learned that volunteers are the lifeblood of a nonprofit. So especially in our area, for them to respond, because, you know, you can only expect your staff to do so much. They've already put in their 8 or 9 hour day, and then for them to have to go out on call at 2 or 3 in the morning to respond to a victim in the emergency room, it's tough. So our volunteers are very important to us. And the third program that we have is our education and awareness program. So that third component, I think, is very critical for people to understand, because it's one thing to go in and treat someone or offer services after they have been victimized. It's another thing to go out and to bring awareness and education to the community, and especially to the children, for them to know they do have a voice and they can talk to their teacher or their counselor or to their resource officer at their school, and if something is happening to them, because their families may try to, in some cases, you know, brush it under the rug so they don't get somebody in trouble. But that's a big component for us, our third program, and that's really what I want to highlight a lot as much as I can, is that we have 2 full-time people that go out and do this work in the community. One focuses on the pre-K through the 12th grade and does age-appropriate curriculum for those students, and it's a variety of topics. You know, we could talk about those later if you want to, but and then we have another staff member who focuses on the 18 to 25 year old age group, and again, age appropriate. And we have in the community, the any church groups that want us to come in and speak, any civic organizations, that's part of what I do, as well as the outreach coordinator and our juvenile services specialist. So we have, you know, several of us that go out and speak in the community as needed.
Well, I guess I'd have to ask you, Kathy, is this something that's really needed in our community?
You know, and I was very surprised when I went to work there, and the statistics show, and national statistics, is that one out of every 4 girls and 1 out of every 6 boys will be sexually abused by the time they're 18. And I really was very skeptical of that number, I have to tell you. I said, oh, yeah, I just don't know. That just sounds, you know, pretty
high,
harsh to me.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that since I have assumed this role and I have been out and I've been at speaking engagements, I have had people come up to me that I have known for years in the work world, in the professional work world, in the many places I've worked. I've had people come from every one of those, and people from churches that I know and have sat beside on the pews have come up to me now, and knowing that I'm non-judgmental in the role that I am and very confidential, you know, telling me that they were abused as a child. So I do feel like, you know, it's there. Hopefully we can make a small inroad again to help prevent it. But yes, it is much needed, the services that we provide. We see on average in about 250 children every year at our agency. And again, that's Greenwood, Abbeville, and Lawrence that come through our agency through allegations of child abuse. 90% of those children that we see are there for sexual abuse. And so about, you know, the other 10% would be around physical abuse. So that's what we're seeing the predominant amount of. And we see another 100 adults every year that are coming through as recent victims or victims who just, you know, had some victimization many, many years ago who couldn't cope with it and are trying to, you know, recover and move forward in their lives. So that's a lot of people coming through our doors right now.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Kathy Miller. She is the executive director of Beyond Abuse. It is right here in Greenwood. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Kathy Miller. She is the executive director of Beyond Abuse. And, you know, Kathy, one of the things that I think we want to talk a little bit about is that, you know, there is a lot of silence about this issue because it can tear up families. It can tear up a woman and a boyfriend or vice versa. And these things, you don't say anything because why? Because you don't want to get anybody in trouble. Or maybe you don't realize that there's something wrong with this when you're a child.
Ann, and I can tell you a few of the stories that, you know, I always talk with the staff, and they give me success stories, and I read through these sometimes, and I see the details of what some of these victims have gone through, and I'm appalled, quite frankly, to know that this could happen to a family member. So there are many reasons. You know, parents maybe think they're protecting the child by telling them to just, you know, you're okay, just forget about it, because they don't want to drag them through the court process. So it could be a protective instinct. But we see a lot of it where they're not wanting to get that family member in trouble. It could be the child's grandfather was the one who was doing the abuse. It could be the parent's boyfriend or girlfriend who was doing the abuse. And unfortunately, we've had many cases where they don't believe the child. The child is then removed from the home because the mother will continue or the father continue the relationship with, you know, the abuser. So we have a very close relationship with the schools, as I said before. So our referrals come through several channels. You know, we can have the parent who comes in and reports to DSS or law enforcement, and they will refer those children to us. It could be that the child has now reported to the school, to the counselor, or to the resource officer. We had a case in one of the counties where the child or the resource officer was very astute and noticed that the child appeared to be, you know, physical abuse going on, and did some investigation and found out that all five of the children were being abused, and this was physical abuse, and then had enough suspicion to request a forensic interview, which is where we have a non-biased, non-leading, you know, specialist interview these children and not ask leading questions to find out really what's going on. And those children revealed it wasn't only physical, but it was sexual abuse. So this case went from, you know, the observation of one resource officer in the school for one child to, you know, to a family of many, many children who were involved. So again, it's through partnerships like that and strong partnerships that they know that, you know, they can refer a child in and we're going to do what we're supposed to, and to help these children with these forensic interviews. And these interviews are then used in the prosecution of cases against the perpetrator.
Sure. You know, the other big problem, though, is economics, because this plays a big part into maybe a mom that wouldn't put up with it if she was stable and had enough money and everything dependent upon. I mean, you know, these are things that we all know about.
Well, you know, one thing I want to carve out right now is that the services that we provide, Ann, are free of charge. So if a parent...
No, but I mean, if they're economically, they can't afford to have that something happen to that person, be arrested or something, or be moved out of the home.
Right. So I'm sure there are some concerns for some folks, you know, financially. Maybe they don't want to take or can't take time off from work to address these. They're you know, maybe a little intimidated from that. But, you know, I have to look at a lot of folks will find out a lot of reasons to be off work for the things they feel are important, and
sure,
that's certainly one of the things that's important. But it could be, you're right, that the breadwinner of the family might be the one being accused.
Sure.
And they're going
How many movies are there out there about that exact thing is what I was thinking.
And they don't have,
yeah,
you know, a place to go.
Right.
So, you know, you look at many, many years ago where the woman endured abuse and her children maybe endured abuse, but she didn't have a network or place to go.
Sure.
So today I can thankfully say we do have good places where people do go. So if we find out that situation is there, and part of that advocacy we talked about is saying, what other things do you need that we can help you with? And if we find out that that parent is in an abusive situation and needs to have some kind of support, then we will refer them immediately to the right resource. So locally, that resource in Greenwood would be Meg's House. And, you know, it's a shelter for domestic violence victims.
Sure.
And that's headed by Alice Hodges. She's the executive director there. One of the first things I did when I came aboard was go out and establish my relationship with all of these, you know, partner agencies in our counties that we serve, and met with, you know, the police chiefs and the solicitor's office and these safe houses that we go to. So it's a tremendous resource, and we do refer people there if they need those resources to get them out of an abusive relationship and, you know, for themselves and for their children. We partner, Alice and I are now partnering on a program, and I'd love to talk about it just for a second. This spring, we're looking for some grant opportunities. We've written a couple of grants to help us fund what we call Show Your Strength Greenwood. What we found, and you'll hear it on the national news, it's nomore.org, or you may have heard about Man Up State.
Right.
And these are initiatives, national and statewide initiatives, to engage men in prevention. Because when you look at it, men are most often, over 90% of the time, the people who are the abuser in sexual assault and in domestic violence cases. So our premise and our thought process is to engage and go to the root cause, basically go back to my business background, but that root cause and say, well, where is it starting? And if you don't address it there and get men engaged in prevention, you say, well, who are you going to target? You're not going to target the abuser. But no, but we're going to target those football coaches and basketball coaches that have a lot of youth that they influence, and those church youth group leaders, and those Boy Scout troop leaders, and, you know, the local businessmen in the community who can make that impact and start teaching these kids and be male role models and mentors to these kids growing up, that you don't do this. You don't abuse. You don't hit. This is not, you can get out of this, you know, you can be a man and still be sensitive and caring and loving, and this is not the appropriate way to handle things. So we've got
look at what football has been through with the abuse and all that coming down.
And that certainly played a part in all the enlightenment now and the campaigns that are going on. And I have to tell you that the National Football League has given us a small stipend for this year. We've got $1,319 from the National Football League to help us with, you know, volunteer crisis intervention so that we can help in some small way. You know, and that money will be used very, very in a good way to help us with training of volunteers and helping make sure that we can serve those victims through the crisis hotline or the emergency department response. So yes, I think that has highlighted the problems and the issues that we've seen. And we're going to try to, you know, spin on that coattail of that to get Greenwood engaged as well. And we're going to line up some speakers, some education awareness, some speakers, some victim testimony, you know, and get these guys to come in and make a commitment that they're going to do what's right, to stand up and show their strength. So I hope that we'll be able to, you know, have some more details about that later.
Sure. No, I think, you know, but that is, you look at, and then you look at some of the role models out there that are not good role models. I mean, some of the lyrics and everything, for example, that is in some of the hip-hop music out there, just, you know, if you ever catch just a few of them, you just go, whoa! It doesn't remind you of the music you were listening to when I was growing up.
I agree, Anne. It's, you know, when you talk about social media today and things like this, just, you know, it's like a match being lit. Boy, it just takes off so fast this day and time. And kids are exposed to so much at such a younger age now. And you see these things out there and what's on, you know, these websites. And you really have to keep a close eye on what these kids are seeing. And then, you know, there's been studies that show that the earlier you introduce a child to movies that are non-Disney movies, you know,
right,
maybe you let them slip and see a PG-13 movie when they're too young, or an R movie when they're too young, but they get bored very quickly, and they're looking for more and more exciting things to do, you know, so it escalates. The level of excitement has to be something, you know, a little higher up for them to feel that same excitement in their life. So I really think we as parents have to be conscientious of, you know, what we allow our children to see and what they're exposed to, you know, I won't get into my moral decline story, but, you know, I do think that we do need parents in the home who are good role models for these children and good loving homes. And unfortunately, not every child is. Hence, we go back to having the male role models and the mentors in the community who can hopefully make a difference for these children.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, when you think about the movies, and here we got 50 Shades of Grey out there now, and, you know, there's a lot of young people that want to say, what's going on there? And if they haven't already seen it on the computers and TV and whatnot, you know, it's out there. So you have a doubly hard job out there.
It is tough. It's battling, you know, a raging fire as we, you know, it's sweeping
it's
U.S.
It's a wildfire.
Yes,
there you go.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're talking about Beyond Abuse. I guess we could give out a telephone number if somebody wants to call. Now, your office hours are?
And we're open Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5.
Okay.
And on Fridays, 8 to 2.
Okay.
And our phone number is 864-227-1623. And we have a website, which is beyondabuse.info. And I'll emphasize the .info.
You need to put in .info because who knows what you'll find if you don't put in .info.
That's right. We could not secure all of the domains. We tried to buy a couple of them that were already secure, but they put a good price tag on some of those. So we've gotten two or three, but .info is the official website.
Okay. Now you said you have a crisis line. So, I mean, those are your official office hours, but if somebody's in crisis, you have a number to call there?
They can still dial that same number, and it will flip them over to the crisis hotline number.
Okay.
We have the volunteers that we talked about earlier that have that phone with them who will then answer it after 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock the next morning. So they will talk to a live person if they call that hotline number. So they can still dial the same number, and it will give them instructions on where to call from there.
Okay. So that number is 227-1623, and that is 864. Now, where is Beyond Abuse?
Beyond Abuse is by design in a discrete location on the more toward the south end of town, closer to the hospital area. So if you think about the outpatient surgery center,
mm-hmm.
Going down on South Main, and there's a street called Alexander.
Right.
If you take a left there, we're at 115 East Alexander. So it is the old, and I did not realize this, but I kept wondering why in the world there were all these glass windows and all of these rooms with these shades over them. It's the old St. Nicholas Speech and Hearing Center is what
How about
it is.
That?
So some of the equipment is still there, so
right.
The observation rooms. So it was kind of neat to see that historical perspective of, you know, the building. So it is 115 East Alexander. It's a discreet building and, a really good location of town for us to see folks and not feel like they're on display, you know, when they're
sure.
coming in. And the name changes help that as well. You know, if you can imagine pulling up to something about the sexual trauma and counseling center and the connotations that may have gone around with that, and people would maybe take a taxi in or bring a family member, have them, you know, bring
sure.
them in, and they were, why are you coming here? So, you know, the name changes, I think, been very beneficial as well. Now, there's an empty building. I'll put a plug in here. So St. Nicholas actually had I think it was called the Wise Penny Thrift Shop or Penny Wise Thrift Shop. I'm not quite sure. It was their resale store. So that building is sitting next door to us, and it's owned by Sertoma now. It's sitting basically empty. I think there's some use of the building maybe by Self Regional Healthcare on their car seat safety program. But we would love to have that one day, that building, as a overflow and, you know, as a meeting room and to expand our service area if we could do that one day.
Wow. Well, Beyond Abuse and the telephone number 227-1623, you know, one of the things I was thinking about as I was thinking about Martha Basterna mm-hmm. starting this organization many, many years
Tremendous
ago.
Tremendous person.
And what a tireless worker she has been to this organization.
She forged the path, and I go back, and we have chatted on numerous occasions now. She's become, you know, just a real friend to me. And I look back, and she took the helm in 92 when it attained its nonprofit status. And she went all the way to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And to have done what she has done and to grow this agency to what it is today is remarkable. So she's tremendous. She's well-respected in the community. She's there for me. She's offered nothing but positive support to me. And she came in for our rededication ceremony back in August. And she was there, and we gave her a little bit of a little plaque to honor her years of service to us there as well. But she's given me a lot of good contacts in the community for me to move forward with as well. So she's tremendous.
Sure. Now, when you talk about when we talk about kids, I think particularly I want to talk about kids. As your counselors or resource officers in the schools and everything are talking to kids, what's the biggest thing that has come out of, what do the kids say? You know, what is their feeling about this?
you know, when we look at the counselors, when they start the process with these victims and these child victims, a lot of children, it's a recurring theme where they feel like early in the process, in the counseling process, that it's their fault. For some reason, they blame themselves. Well, if I hadn't said something, or I was too loud, or you know, I did something wrong, and they think they deserve this treatment for some reason or another. So we know that, and we measure the progress of these children and the adults when they come in. We do that pre-assessment, and then mid-assessment, and then the post-assessment through these proven technologies. And we see them move through that continuum and slowly release that feeling that it was their fault. And at the final end of it, we know they're a success story and that they're going to be okay and can move on. So they say, no, it wasn't my fault. He shouldn't have done that to me, or she shouldn't have done that to me. It was wrong. And so that's when we know we have a proud moment. And we actually give these children certificates of completion. And I'm amazed that, you know, they were going to frame them and hang them on the wall. They're so proud that they have moved on now. So it kind of gives you a little chill to see that the positive impact we make. And I was just working on the United Way request for this next year for funding, because we are a United Way agency, and we have to put in some success stories, you know, to show that. And some of the stories are pretty gruesome about what these children have gone through. But at the end, when they come through and they have moved on, and you know, you have testimonies from older folks that have come back and said, I never would be where I am today. I've got someone that I'm working on with one of our fundraisers coming up, and she met someone in an airport. This is how far-reaching. And she said, you know, I was seen by Beyond Abuse many years ago, and they were a life changer for me. And that's what makes it just all worth it for me.
Sure. You know, I just wonder, though, how deep does this go in Greenwood? Are you guys going to be out of business anytime soon?
Well, you know, you're funny you say that, because when I went to work with the agency in my first staff meeting, I said, okay, our goal is to work ourselves out of a job.
Right.
And they all looked at me. I said, no, that's really the goal for us, you know. But unfortunately, I think that would be a long time in coming. So, you know, first we want to empower the children to be able to, you know, report it, but we certainly want to prevent it from happening at all. And again, that's part of that strategy to engage men in the prevention efforts. But no, society, the norms are changing a little bit, where it's easier to talk about it now, but we're still a long way from, I think, the entire prevention. It's something that's gone on for a long, long, long time. Historically, it's there. It's prevalent in our society today. Are we making inroads? I have to hope so. I have to think so, that we are helping people and hoping to prevent some things as well.
How does your staff feel?
The staff, I think they're excited. Two avenues. One is certainly what they do every day is very draining for them to see and deal with that. And we take a lot of time and attention with the staff to make sure that they don't, you know, have their own emotional moments with that. You know, as many times I've found somebody in the hall and in tears because they've just had a very, very trying day, and they've had, you know, just a horrible situation they've had to deal with, you know, with the family coming in and the children and whatnot, going through the forensic interview or the medical exam and not really understanding what the whole process is about. But the other side of it is the staff, I think, is excited now about the direction we're moving with the agency. So trying to engage them, you know, ideas, suggestions for moving us forward, just improving our technical abilities within the agency, you know, using the tools that we've been giving and doing away with manual processes and putting some automated things in place to help their jobs be a little more efficient.
Wow. Well, we are here with Kathy Miller. She is pumped up today here talking. She's the executive director of Beyond Abuse. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a big fundraiser she decided to undertake in her first year. Yes, she's come up with Dancing with the Greenwood Stars. Do you know them? By the time we leave here, you might know them. You probably do know them, and they are going to be dancing and putting on a great show so that you will contribute to a great event. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk more about that. Don't you go away.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because. We know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? Hey, I am Ann Eller. I am with Kathy, here with Kathy Miller. She's come up with this phenomenal idea, and you are just going to be amazed at who is involved in this. I understand that you went right to the top when you decided to pick your MCs, Jim Medford and Betty Horn.
You know, Ann, I was looking at an event to do for Greenwood that hadn't been done, and that would have a wide appeal.
Yes.
And realized that this particular event had been done in other locations in the state and had been successful everywhere it was done. So Dancing with the Greenwood Stars, it's huge. I mean, this is a big undertaking for me.
Now, you have a website already.
We have a website, gwdstars.com. Check it out, gwdstars.com. So you're going to see now, I met with a web designer last night. We were finalizing that website. There's a place to vote. So let me tell you how this thing works.
Wait a minute. Let's start. When is it first?
April 25th, 2015 at Little River Multicultural Center.
Okay.
So the first thing we did was lock in the date, and we had to make sure we didn't compete with the Symmetra Tour for Jim out that way and spring break with the school system. So we, you know, kind of carved that thing out. And regardless of how well you plan, of course, now that night turns out to be the night of the Greenwood Prom or whatever. But I can't compete with that, you know. So hopefully when you get the kids off to prom, you'll come on out to our event. So we wanted, and I went down and talked with Senator Ryberg's wife down in Aiken, and she was giving me some good pointers. She said, Kathy, I'm going to be very honest with you. You've got to get the right people on board. And I told her, yes, ma'am, I understood that. So I immediately came back and called my old boss, Jim Medford, because I worked with for Jim as his corporate controller at Aaron Industries. And I said, Jim, I need you. And he said, you know, I'll do what I can for you. What is it? And we were one of the beneficiaries last year of the Symmetra Tour that he had hosted.
So, well, I think it's probably a good thing you don't have Jim dancing.
I put Jim in the right role.
Exactly.
In the right role. And then I had the
as MC.
As MC. So right. Jim Everett is MC, Betty Horn. Betty Horn is phenomenal. I reconnected with her through Kiwanis, which I've rejoined now that I'm back in the nonprofit world. And she is just, they are going to be the best team up there to keep this crowd going for the entire night. So my second step was then, well, who are my judges going to be? Again, I'm trying to engage people in the community, you know, those high-profile names. I'm being very honest about it. That's the people I have to have on board for other people to want to come see. So my judges are going to be Richard Whiting with the Index Journal, Mayor Welborn Adams. We're going to have solicitors.
You know, isn't his wife dancing?
Well, no, she's not actually.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Not.
I thought she was.
She was considering dancing with us with her wonderful father, Dr. Stevenson,
right.
Dr. Roger Stevenson. And they decided that with her opening her new business,
yes,
that it would be a little hard for them to get the recital
practicing.
I'm hoping that they'll change their minds, Anne. I still have a slot available for them if they'll change their minds.
There might be a little bit of conflict, though,
yeah,
Mayor Welborn Adams
call,
here.
Recuse himself from that
Okay,
one.
Okay.
But
all right.
So anyway, we've got Richard, we've got Welborn, we've got Solicitor Stumbo.
Yes.
And then we have Renee Simshon, and we have Angela Board. So it's going to be that group themselves is going to be another, you know, great group to keep us going that night and offer their words of wisdom and encouragement for our dancers. This is being headed up by our production director, Bess Park, a well-known name in the community.
Absolutely.
We've got Tina Escalona, who is a professional marketing communications. She has her own firm. She's helping with those as and really the overall event coordination, helping me make those connections to the right folks, you know, in town. Andy Sikora is going to be working very heavily on the audio and lighting portion of it. He's a great guy. I got to meet him and know him over the last couple months. Just a good cast of people. And you're going to say, well, who's dancing?
Right.
And, oh, Ann, I just don't want to say anything right now because I would probably leave somebody out if I were to try to do it from memory. So I would just tell people to go to our website and check it out. We loaded our couples pictures just last night.
Okay.
And they are out on that website.
We can mention some of them.
We can mention some.
Mamie Nicholson and Floyd Nicholson.
Senator Floyd Nicholson and Mamie are going to be one of our couples. And
you're
going to
let them dance together?
They are. I had to fudge the rules just a little bit, but that's okay. If anybody wants to take it up, they can take it up with Miss Mamie, and she'll straighten them out.
Now, and what about Sheriff Tony Davis?
Yes, Sheriff Davis. I had to go and flex my muscle with him a little bit, and you know, because the Sheriff's Department, again, that's one of our partner agencies, and everybody has said, "Let me know what we can do for you." And I said, "Okay, you told me to let you know, so this is what you can do."
Well, but now you may I know that he's quite a dancer.
He is quite the dancer.
Yes.
Yes, he is. So we have him lined up to go as well. He's going to be
here. Now, who's he going to dance with?
He is dancing with Susan Welch. And they, I believe, are going to do, no surprise here, a shag song of sorts.
Well, that's right up Tony's alley.
That's
there.
Right.
He's
Tony's
a shagger.
He's
yes.
a shagger. So we had to be really careful, Ann, that we couldn't. Greenwood's a shag town. I couldn't have 12 shag competitions going on. So we had to really. It was very selective. The contestants did not know who they were going to be paired with. So we had a reception a week or so ago out at the Links that Jim and Denise hosted for us. We assigned those people their partner for the evening and gave them their song choice for the evening. So we had a big ball with that one. And our theme this year is going to be dances from popular movies. So you may see somebody like a Heather Jones and a Trip Paget dancing to She's the One That I Want from Grease. So we've certainly given them the option if they wanted to make some changes to that, but we've given recommendations so that we are ensure that our crowd is entertained and there's a variety of music going on that entire night. And we've got a few surprises up our sleeve to keep everybody just engaged with everything. So, you know, we're looking to our website is up. You can go online now for tickets are there. The information to buy tickets, to buy a table, and hopefully some much-needed sponsorship. I'm not going to be shy about doing that as well. We need sponsorship. I'm sending, you know, the request out, and we'd love to have a full house that night. We're hoping to have, you know, 400 folks in there to really raise some much-needed funds for this agency. We're going to have 8 couples and 4 groups. So this is not just a couples competition. We have 4 groups represented. Caps of Jail has a group out there that's going to have a lot of fun. Fuji is they're pumped, Dan. They're ready to go. They're talking about special effects and costuming already.
Well, if you've got Kiff Cameron's involved in it all, Cameron Dorn, I know they're going to be pumped out there. Yes.
Well, so Fujifilm and then law enforcement has a group that's going to perform, as well as some folks from the YMCA. So we've got a very diverse group of individuals. Our stars in Greenwood, we hope that the community will embrace these folks and come out and support us as an agency. And knowing that, you know, the ticket's going to include, of course, a great entertainment, dinner, drinks, dessert, and, you know, a donation to a good cause in town, because a part of those ticket prices are a tax-deductible donation.
Sure. Now, how much are the tickets going to be, Kathy?
We are going to charge $75 for a ticket, Ann, and then we have sponsorship levels starting at you know, $800, and then we go from $800 to $1,000 sponsorship, a $2,000 sponsorship, with our platinum sponsor being $2,500. And you're going to say, well, my goodness, what do we get for our $2,500? Well, you get 8 tickets of premium seating at our event, front and center, so you don't miss a thing. That half-paid ad in the program, line mentioned in the program, logo on the event website. The MC is going to recognize these folks during the event. And they're going to get some private table service that night as well to, you know, just so it'll enhance their experience for the evening.
Oh, my goodness. Do they get a private dancer?
Well, you know, I said we're full of surprises.
Okay. All right. See, there you go. I don't know what's going to be going on, but that is April 25th.
Yes.
And is that a Saturday? I presume
it is a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And
doors will open at 7. The event's going to start at 8. Well, I would say get there early. You want to make sure you've gotten a little something to eat before the festivities start. And the festivities will actually start a little before 8, but the official competition starts at 8. So you don't want to miss a thing.
Don't want to miss a thing. So how do you go about getting your tickets?
There are a couple of avenues. You can call the agency again at 227-1623. You can go to the event website, gwdstars.com, and there's information there. You can pay online. So just, you know, call, let us know what you want to do, and we'll help you get those tickets and get those tables lined up. And, you know, I'd say just, you know, let's get it rolling, and tables are filling up, and we're excited about it. I think it's going to be well received in the community this year, and I hope it can be a repeat event for us for, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Sure. Well, that sounds absolutely terrific. You can go to their website, gwdstars.com. That's gwdstars.com. You can call them, 227-1623. But they have Dan Ball, you know, President Dan Ball of Lander University, Heather Jones, Jane Merrill. God, I'm telling you what, you have the people that we want to see make a fool of themselves. I'll just go ahead and say it, because that's the truth, isn't it?
And we're going to have different categories. Certainly, we're going to have judges vote, mm-hmm. and we're going to have popular vote. So this is the other caveat. Our website allows people to do online voting. So you can go cast your vote for your favorite dancer now. You don't wait. And that's the other way the agency will make some money for the event, is online voting on the website and then actually buying the tickets and the tables at the event as well. So go vote for your favorite dancer now.
Absolutely. Check it out, gwdstars.com. Again, this is all to help Beyond Abuse. It's really going to be an awesome event. It's going to be one of those events that if you miss it, you're going to say, darn, why did I miss that one?
And we hope, Ann, that you can be there that night, maybe welcoming our guests on the red carpet.
Well, I'd love to do that. Absolutely. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.